Om Namah Shivaya. Dear listeners of Shaivam.org, the next program is Spiritual Discourse. In this, you are about to listen Shiva Purana. The title is About Lord Shiva, presented by Swami Jyotir Mayananda. Thank you. Om Namah Shivaya.
Some simple details about Shiva. Shiva has snowy white complexion. The snowy white represents absolute purity, Shuddha Sattva. His matted locks represent mysteries of the mind. Crescent moon on his forehead is absolute control of mind. Three eyes. Normal vision is represented by two eyes. Intuitional vision represented by the third eye. Your normal vision tantrically represented by a parallel line. Not parallel line, straight line. Two eyes, put a line, it's straight. But put a line between nose and Ajna Chakra, vertical. You are wearing a cross. Cross has same symbolism. Actually, it comes from the Vedic source. Vertical vision means you step beyond the world of time and space. You step beyond your senses, intellect, mind and ego. There is absolute self. Nothing exists. Therefore, live your life with the idea of transcending all this and attaining God. Three eyes in Shiva also represents Trayambakam, three mothers, Kriya Shakti, Ichha Shakti and Jnana Shakti. Kriya Shakti is the energy that allows you to do Karma Yoga, energy of action. Ichha Shakti that allows you to develop wondrous qualities, allows you to develop profound will, an expansion of your mental process. And Jnana Shakti that gives you intuitional wisdom. You don't need the mind. Mind is transcended. All this is represented by Shiva's three eyes. People are afraid of his third eye. Two eyes sustain your practical reality. If you are not ready for transcendence, keep away from his third eye. The third eye is pure nirvana, absolute liberation. But that's again, whenever we speak like that, it's a humor. Not to be taken literally. Nirvana is the goal. His third eye is the real vision. He is the holder of trident. Trident relates to Triputi, seer, seen and sight. Relative consciousness has three factors in it. For easy understanding, think of dream experience. In dream experience, three illusions have developed. Illusion about yourself, subject, the seer. That seer is not real. Seen implies the world. The world of your dream is not real either. Your interacting experience of pleasure and pain, that's not real. Three illusions have developed in your dream. In order to wake up, all the three must be chucked out, pierced, pushed out, rubbed out, effaced. You don't have to work much hard. You wake up like magic. Same way, in practical day-to-day life, no one knows who the person is. Are you a successful person? Are you advanced? Are you better than others? I'm just trying to create a joke. But you're never sure of yourself. Even your photos change in time. It doesn't require much to understand. Even from scientific point of view, doctors have not come to understand. Even the physical health, there are a lot of research goes on. How things will be 50 years later, they will look at us and say, how ignorant they were. So much illusion about your subjective identity. You don't know yourself. Second point, do you know the world? Even in scientific point of view, so many things that people didn't know about all the astronomy and stars and many suns in the heavens. Now people are aware of them and they look back and say, how ignorant they were. I'm just describing the physical universe. And universe is not just physical. Universe is the world of your emotions, your feelings, your insights, your understandings, countless things. All that world is an illusion, not real. You, whom you don't know, interacting with the world, that's Maya, that also you don't know. The result, experiences of pleasure and pain. Because that pleasure and pain is so intense in human mind, that becomes such a reality, life. And life's success depends upon how you can deal with your pain and remove it. But the simple rational point behind it, two illusions couldn't have produced something real. That does it in algebra. Two minuses become plus. Jo sapne sir kaate koi bin jaage dukh dur na hoi. Tulsidas ji says in a very simple way, you are having a horrible dream. Your head has been cut off. Present world also has the same story. What a horrible pain. But you wake up and you find nothing really happened. You wake up implies you have intuitional revelation that you are not the body, body-mind complex. Body-mind complex is just like your cell phone. Cell phone is not you, no matter how much it may speak like you. So therefore, just as from dream to waking, you remove three illusions, they are cut down by the three prongs of a mystical weapon. That's called Trishul, trident in the hand of Shiva. That trident goes on cutting down your three illusions, illusion about yourself, the illusion that through which you see the world through a deluded vision. An interacting experience should not give you any rattling feeling. Interacting experience should give you just like the sky. The sky, nothing happens to the sky. The clouds interact. The sky remains taintless, scratchless. So, when Triputi is removed, you come to that level. All that is given with the Shiva's Trishul. I've also talked about from Trishna to Krishna. Being worldly minded means being a devotee of Trishna. Threefold cravings. Craving about yourself, the self that you don't know. Craving about the world, which is of course absolutely transient. Then craving about your relation with the world. Threefold cravings, that's the predicament of every individual being. Change this into Krishna. Understand you are a temple of God. You are a ray of God. You are essentially God. Your attitude to yourself begins to advance. An attitude about the world. The world is not the way human senses experience. The world is beyond the grip of mind and senses. It is the expression of God. The world has all the resources to give your mind immense joy and thrill. It's not a world of pain. It's God's expression. So as you advance in understanding yourself better and better, and you look at the world with a totally different vision, Siya Ram Mai Sab Jagjani, behind all names and forms, the divine exists. When the interacting experience, adversity comes, thank God. You reminded me of what I want to do. I need to, prosperity comes, thank God. You have encouraged me to flow towards you. So your attitude to all the three aspects of life changes, goes on changing. So that's what we call from Krishna to Krishna. Or from the world of illusion to the three-pronged instrument of Lord Shiva. Shiva cutting down all the three. Lord Shiva sits on tiger skin. That means simply the mastery over the lower self. All the animal element within you is under the control. Snakes form his adornment. They represent Kundalini Shakti. He dwells on Kailasha mountain. That represents absolute consciousness. That is his abode. He rides on the bull called Nandi. Nandi is a brief form of Ananda, bliss. And for figurative purpose, that Nandi is Pranava, Om. If you allow your mind to be saturated with Om mantra, your mind will become the bull. Then Shiva will ride on it. Take it humorously. His five faces, he's all-seeing plus all the five functions that I described. He drank the poison, I have already explained. He's the destroyer of Cupid God, the destroyer of Visaya Vasana, the subtle desires for the world. Of all these subtle desires for worldly existence, they are brought down into one symbolic description, Cupid God, Kama. Kama refers to lustful desires of the mind. But lustful desire is related to all the six vikaras, Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, Matsarya. So whenever we are negating Kama, we are negating all those six. But of all the six, the lustful aspect is very impressive to human mind. So you describe Kama coming before Shiva, and Shiva opening his third eye, burning him down. Lord Shiva is also known as Jyotirmaya, full of light. He is called Dakshinamurti. embodiment of grace. Lord Shiva appeared as a special deity and gave teachings to Sanat Kumara's highest teaching. That aspect of Lord Shiva that gave the highest teaching is known as Dakshinamurti. And there are lots of stories and lot of prayers for Dakshinamurti. And you can't enter into a temple unless you hear the word Dakshina. First thing you have to do, Pradakshina. Go around the temple, perambulation. And every type of ritual you perform, in the end you give Dakshina. Dakshina has associated with a profound mystical movement within your soul. If the soul is moving towards, drawn to liberation, it has adopted that teaching of Dakshinamurti. And that you are reminding yourself of Dakshina. I will not build up too much. But even in your day-to-day life, things done by your right hand are considered more appropriate, auspicious. Things done by your left hand, you are leftist. Dakshina refers to right. He also wears elephant skin, that's controller of pride. The lingam, I've already explained, is a formless symbol. Advaita, non-duality. Three lines of vibhuti that you put, sacred ashes, they represent removal of avidya, kama and karma. Ignorance, desire and karmic involvement. Let me give you some simple story part. Creation emanated from Lord Brahma, the creator. From Brahma proceeded Saptarshis, great sages. I will be talking about them later. And from his foot, Brahma's foot, there emerged Daksha Prajapati. Daksha Prajapati plays a great part. He is the symbol of ego, rajasic tamasic ego. He married Prasuti, the daughter of Manu. Manu was created by Brahma. It is that Manu term that has become the basis of man, manava, manas, humanity. Manu cannot be forgotten. It relates to mind, manas. All animals have mind, but in a human being, mind contains rationality, reason, ability to think, and that distinguishes human beings, and they are known as manavas, manava, human beings, where mind has been highlighted. Going into the story part, Daksha Prajapati, Daksha became the sub-creator. Brahma is the creator. Daksha was his, under him, a sub-creator. He married Prasuti, the daughter of Manu. All this is allegorical. They had 16 daughters, Daksha Prajapati and his wife Prasuti. Prasuti simply means the one who gives rise to so many children, the whole world of creation, all beings, especially as the role of Prasuti, human beings are more highlighted. Now, of 16 daughters, let me give you the names of the daughters and some description. Shraddha, faith, is the daughter of Prajapati. Now, out of 16 daughters, 13 daughters were married to Dharma. Dharma is the path of virtue. Shraddha, faith, with husband Dharma, gave rise to a son known as Satya. Shraddha is the mother. Satya is truthfulness. Faith is the mother. That faith will lead you to develop devotion to truth, what Gandhiji calls Satyagraha. You live your life insisting on the truth. I'm not talking about any political type of implication. The next daughter, Maitri. Maitri means friendliness. These are all cosmic resources. Every soul is born with faith, even with animals. The moment a little cub comes into the world, looks at the mother tiger, and they have absolutely no discussion. Are you my baby? Absolute trust with birds, animals, anywhere. The baby comes forth, simply looks at the eyes, and that's it. Permanently imprinted. Similar type of quality is latent in every individual. You are born with faith, no matter how much you may highlight your rationality. And if you allow that faith to be nourished, you will become more and more truthful, closer to truth within yourself. Maitri, another daughter of Daksha, is Maitri. Maitri is friendliness. You have the choice. You can look at the world with a friendly vision, or you look at the world as if the world is enemy all over. It all depends upon your inner depth. If you have evolved profoundly within yourself, then realize all souls are divine. Not a single soul is to be viewed by you with hatred. And that's your spiritual goal. That friendliness, Maitri was married to, no, rather that Maitri married to Dharma gave birth to Prasad. Prasad is mental repose, mind feeling joyous. Whenever any puja, etc. is done, in the end, Prasad is distributed. Implying if you have done your worship correctly, your mind will be calm. Automatically, a divine honey will drip into your heart. The third daughter was Daya. Daya is compassion. Daya gave rise to Abhaya. Abhaya means fearlessness. If your heart is full of compassion, there will be fearlessness. Simple demonstration you see in a mother working with tremendous compassion for her baby. Even in difficult circumstances, she doesn't care for herself. Type of fearlessness develops. But that's an ordinary example I'm giving. The actual example is, if you have real mercy within your heart, if that quality has developed, you don't have to be afraid even of death. But as long as that quality has not reached the highest, you sustain that, you are vulnerable to fear. Another daughter of Daksha was Shanti, peace. And peace gave rise to, her son was Harsh. Harsh means joyousness. More peaceful you are, you have greater capacity to be humorous, joyous, buoyant, gleeful, blissful. Another daughter of Daksha, Pushti. Pushti means nourishment. Nourishment means, for example, if you are enjoying satsanga, satsanga is nourishing you. Ahara shuddhau sattva shuddhi. Intakes are called food. Of course, physically you are nourished by vitamins and minerals and all types of foods. But your nourishment does not stop in the physical level with your satsanga, with your japa, with your righteous conduct, your devotion. You become internally nourished. Pushti gives rise to garva. Garva has two implications. Sattvic pride or demoniac pride, conceit. Sattvic pride is perfectly, it's called gaurav, a sense of feeling that you are accomplishing, that you are developing divine qualities and you are proud of yourself that you are accomplishing. That pride is sattvic, that encourages you. So pushti gives rise to garva. If it is rajasic tamasic pushti, then your garva is conceit. If it is sattvic pushti, your garva is gaurav. Atma-gauro, you're gaining insight into the strength of your soul. So let me reiterate some of these. Shraddha gave rise to satya, truth. Maitri, friendliness, gave rise to prasad. Daya, mercy, gave rise to fearlessness. Shanti, here I have to make a correction, it is not harsha. Shanti gave rise to saman. Saman means samatva of the mind. Mind becomes balanced. If you are peaceful, then you have constantly a balanced mind. Pushti gave rise to garva. Next daughter is Tushti. Tushti means contentment. It is this Tushti that gives you harsha, joy. Santoshat anuttam sukhalabha. If you are contented, you enjoy a unique type of happiness. Unique type because your happiness now is not comparative. If you don't have santosh, your happiness is based on comparison. Somebody has only little. Oh, I'm happy you have somebody. But if you are contented, look within yourself, you have all the resources. Another daughter is known as Kriya, and her son was called Yoga. You must understand the story of Kriya Yoga, mother and son together. Kriya is that which purifies, purifying the body, purifying the mind. So Kriya married Yoga. No, not married. Kriya gave birth to Yoga. Kriya is married to Dharma. All these daughters are married to Dharma. Dharma is a path of righteousness. You can easily understand that this is not a history. These are all great qualities that bring another quality. Next daughter is known as Unnati. Unnati is prosperity. Her son, Darpa. Darpa is pride, is conceit. Pride in a more accentuated way. You can imagine, or rather understand, in two. It can be positive, it can be negative. If your prosperity encourages you to do charitable deeds or utilize your resources for spiritual advancement, then your darpa becomes a darpana. Your mind becomes a mirror and you see God's face in it. Otherwise, your mind becomes a dull glass and you are seeing your face distorted in. Darpa and darpana have a close relationship. Darpana means mirror. A mirror that gives you a sense of conceit about your face. Next daughter is known as buddhi. Buddhi is intellect. The son is known as artha. Artha means ordinarily means material value. Here it relates to resources. All the resources needed for your evolution. All the four values, artha, dharma, artha, tama and moksha. Artha that allows you to move on to moksha, liberation. If your buddhi or intellect is positive, sattvic, the artha, the resources that you have will lead you to liberation. Next daughter is known as Medha. Medha is insightful intellect, intellect that is highly purified, intellect that has emerged out of samadhi. That Medha gave birth to Smriti. Smriti means memory. Memory means recall. If you have purified intellect, there is a recall of who you are in a deeper level. Another daughter is called Titiksha. Titiksha is the quality of enduring adversity, cold and hot, pleasure and pain, insult and praise. If you have that Titiksha, the child born of Titiksha is called Kshema. Kshema means well-being. Things are good. Kushal Kshem. The normal parlance people use the term, unka kushal kshem pucho. Ask about his well-being and how he is feeling. Lajja gave birth to Vinaya. Vinaya. Lajja is positive qualities that you develop that make you feel shy. Two ways. Shy of being recognized, being virtuous. And shy towards any negative deed. Slightest negative deed you have done and your face goes down. I'm joking, but the idea to understand. Shyness as a quality. If you have developed that lajja that keeps you always under, within spiritual discipline, within spiritual guidance, then son born is called Vinaya, humility. Humility becomes your expression in life. Murti is another daughter of Daksha. Murti refers to embodiment, something concrete. And that, with father Dharma, led to the birth of twins. Nara and Narayana. Nara Narayana represented at great sages that have been practicing austerity in Badri Narayana. Mystical implication, soul and Ishwara. Soul within you and God that's guiding the soul. In Upanishadic description, two birds. One eats the fruits, the other watches on. These two, soul, Nara and Narayana, they were born of Murti. So 13 daughters were married to Dharma. And I have described them along with their sons. Three daughters are special. Swaha, Swadha and Sati. Swaha is that ritualistic movement by which gods are adored. You send out your devotional prayer by offering oblation into fire. But in this offering, you use the Sanskrit word Swaha, Swaha. That Swaha was married there to fire god. Swadha is another type of oblation for forefathers, the spirits of forefathers called Pitris. So Swadha was married to the deity of Pitri Loka and Sati was married to Lord Shiva. Daksha was not so pleased to let Sati marry Shiva, and that story I will develop in the next session, and with this conclude.